about disciples who work and play, and actually then to delve a bit deeper into thinking about the world of sport, and how we can be, if we're playing sport, if we're involved in sport, if we're a parent maybe who has children involved in sport, how we can be a Christian in sport, a disciple maker in the world of sport, but also as well, how can we as church leaders equip those who are in our churches to actually see sport as their mission field. That was a bad start, obviously. So how can we actually equip them to see sport as their mission field as well, as somewhere for them to be really committed to sharing life with people who aren't believers, and also then having the opportunity to share the gospel with them too. I've been working for Christians in Sport just for a year now, since last September. I have been involved for about 5-6 years through the camps that we run in the summer, which you've maybe heard about, Sports Plus camps. And I was always kind of in and around the work of Christians in Sport through university. And through playing sport, I was always someone that I'm really passionate about sport, big sports fan. Played football growing up through school, and then rugby in secondary school and onwards now, and I continue to play rugby at Grosvenor in Belfast. And it's always been a passion of mine, sport. And that's something that I suppose for us as Christians in sport, we are passionate about three things really. Passionate about that sport matters. There are so many people who agree with that across the UK. People who are playing sport regularly, training week in, week out. And not just in your rugby football, but actually whenever you go to university, you realise there are sports that you never thought existed. Ultimate Frisbee, who thought there'd be groups of people playing that all over the UK, but there are. And so it's great to actually then be able to share that common interest with people, that sport is something that's really important, sport is something that we love, and it's great to be involved in. As well as that, though, as Christians in sport, there are two other things that we hold really, that we're really passionate about and hold as really important and vital in what we do, and that's that God speaks through his word and through the Holy Spirit, enabling us to actually understand and grasp more of his will for our lives, and how then we can actually share that God speaks, share that with people who are playing sport. Because we're passionate about evangelism and sharing the good news of the gospel with people. And the last thing is then that the church trains. And we know that as an organisation, it's a parachurch organisation, we are not the primary place for those who are Christians to be trained up. To go from the tight ball that they are on a Sunday, together worshipping God in church, but actually then to leave and to be that spread out group of Christians, wherever it be, in work, in play as well, in their sport. And so we want to be able to then equip and come alongside the church to enable you guys as church leaders to actually help the Christian sports people in your church to see sport as a place for them to go out and worship God, but also to witness for him there too, to share their faith with their teammates. We're going to come on in a little while to the wider vision and think a little bit as well about just how big this mission field of sport is today. Because that's what this session is really all about. Why be a disciple maker in sport? Why be a disciple maker in the world of sport? And tomorrow we're going to be thinking about how can we actually do that, a little bit more of the practical nitty-gritty stuff. But it's not just going to be me speaking, because I've got a couple of people as well today and a couple of people tomorrow who are in churches here in Northern Ireland who are going to be able to share a little bit of their experiences. One being a player, well, both being players actually, but one then as well being someone who's involved in leading in a church, and the church now becoming a bit more involved in gathering sports people, equipping them, envisioning them, encouraging them to get out there on a Tuesday, Thursday, whenever they train, and when they play on a Saturday, to live for Jesus and to represent him there in their sports club and team. So that's really what the hope is for this session. And with Christians in Sport, our vision is, together with churches, to reach the world of sport for Christ. That's what we're all about. And now that you've heard a bit from me, why don't you share with someone else why it is that you're here at this session, this seminar? Why you've come, maybe like someone else, you've stumbled into the wrong room, but now you don't want to get up and walk out like he did. But Maybe you're someone who is a sports player. Maybe you're someone involved in sport, whether it be actually playing or coaching or a parent. Or maybe you're someone who's just really interested in sport, sees that there are lots of sports people in your church, and you want to be able to equip them, to envision them, to encourage them to get out there into their sports club and team, wherever that may be, to represent Christ there. So take a couple of minutes to chat, and then we'll come back together afterwards. All right? Go for it. Now, if it's people you know, you might want to move around and have a chat with someone else as well. Go for it. 2 minutes. Probably from a wide range of contexts in sport, maybe from a wide range of church contexts as well. But today, hopefully, there will be something for you to take away so that you can actually then go back to your church and actually then be equipped to share this with people who are playing sport regularly in clubs and teams, so that they actually then feel, I suppose, encouraged to go out and to actually live for Jesus there. If you're someone who is playing sport, brilliant, take this on board today and apply this for you at first, and be able to share it with others or think about others that are in your church that would benefit from this too. Today, this document here that you have, that you'll probably have one of in front of you now, this is really a document that we want church leaders, anybody involved in churches, to have in their hand and to be able to use, I suppose, as a framework to tell you or to help you understand what it might look like to actually reach the world of sport for Christ. We want to be able to give churches something to base their ideas on and to think about the context that they are in. Because whatever context you're in, there are sports clubs and teams that are in your area, that there are lots of people that play there who don't know Jesus. And we in our churches want to be able to reach out to those clubs and teams, whether that be through people who are in our church who are playing in those clubs and teams, or whether it be then thinking about ways to actually engage with them and praying for God to raise up Christians in those clubs. Something that's quite helpful that's going to I'm going to use over the course of the 2 days to help us think about this is our sports stadium. And if you've been to Something with Christians in Sport before, you might have seen this, but it's so helpful in helping us identify who is around us, who there is in our local church who is around us, the clubs and teams, the people there who we can reach with the good news of the gospel, who is around us as well, running in the race. Because if you're a Christian in sport, then you're someone who is on the track, running in this race, someone who is running towards that goal of reaching the world of sport for Christ. And there'll be people maybe in your church who are running alongside you, maybe in a different club, but they are also running towards that goal. There are maybe people who are on the track but haven't quite yet grasped the vision of reaching the world of sport for Christ. What we would love to see is communities of Christians who are in sport, who are actually actively encouraging each other, praying for each other as they go towards that, reaching the world of sport for Christ, wherever that may be. And those people who are running in the race, they are not the only ones, though, that are in the stadium. If I can bring up a couple of people, 3 people, this isn't a massive track, but we can get a few people in on it. Is there anybody who is a player who's playing sport currently? Anybody playing sport? Come on ahead. What's your name?
Helen.
Helen. So if you go in lane one here for me. So Helen in lane one, where are you playing your sport, Helen?
Donaghadee.
Donaghadee.
Hockey.
Hockey, very good. Donaghadee Hockey Club, okay. So that's you in the track, running towards that goal of reaching the world of sport for Christ. Anybody who's a coach or anybody who's a parent, maybe? One ahead. What's your name, sorry?
Glenn.
And where are you coaching? Are you a parent?
I'm a parent of a competitor. Sober.
Okay. And where are they? A competitor? Lisburn. Yeah. Very good, okay. If you want to take lane three there, we'll keep a bit of space. And anybody maybe that is, that always happens, sports people, so competitive. Anybody then that is involved in sport in another way, maybe if you're someone who is involved in sport in like an administration role or a management role, or anybody else that's just involved in sport. Anyway, come on ahead.
I'm a chaplain.
Chaplain, okay, very good. Where are you a chaplain then?
MBC.
not allowed to say that's okay.
Give me a week or two, it might improve.
A chaplain of Army United. Okay, so we've got people who are all involved in sport, in some kind of way, Christian in sport. People who are running towards that goal of reaching the world of sport for Christ. And we have other people as well that could be on the track who are in our churches. Maybe you can think of people right now who are in your church, who are on that track, who are running the race. And what we're all running towards is reaching the world of sport for Christ because of this. Matthew 28, the great commission that Jesus gives to us, all of us, to go and make disciples in all nations. All nations being all people groups. So whether that be in Donaghadee Hockey Club, whether that be in Lisburn swimming as a parent there with other parents, or whether that be as a chaplain in Ballymena Football Club, there is the call for us, the command from Jesus Christ, to get out there. This go actually means in the original, as you go, as you're going, as you're playing your sport, as you're training, as you're doing what you do in your sports club, go and make disciples for Christ there. And so we have people who are on the track, and there are maybe people who are a Christian who play sport but have never connected the dots before in our churches. I've never thought about what it actually would look like for them to, as they go in their sports club, to make disciples there. Thanks, you guys. You can sit down for me. So that's those that are on the track. But there are also then people who are in the stands. Those people who are watching us as we run in the race. Those people in Donaghadee Hockey Club who we're sharing life with. We're getting the opportunity maybe to share a little bit about our faith, what it means to follow Jesus Christ, to be a disciple. Maybe we're getting the opportunity to actually sit down and have conversations with people about what the Bible says about being a Christian. And encouraging them then to see the opportunity there is to come onto the track to run the race as well. Recognising all the time that this is God's work. God is the one that does the saving. God is the one that brings people onto the track to run in the race. But there's a role that we can play in that. In evangelising to people, in playing in a way that represents Christ well and shows the love that we have for Jesus Christ and for others. So you might have some people who are sitting near the front of the stands. You might have some people who are in the back of the stands. People in the back of the stands may be showing no interest whatsoever. People who can watch you, see the life that you're living, see as you train, how you train, see in the way that you live in the club socials, after games, they can watch and they can see actually what you're doing there. But they haven't shown any interest to come in to run in the race themselves. There are people maybe who are in the middle of the stands who are engaging with Christianity a little bit. They show some interest and they're warm towards knowing more about Jesus Christ. And then there are maybe people who are right at the front of the stands. And all the time, we don't want to assume anything or presume anything with people. We don't want to say, well, that person, I know they're at the front of the stands. Because we don't know what God is doing in their heart. But for us, it's helpful to start to think, if we're going to be intentional or encourage people in our churches to be intentional about reaching those people in their sports club with the good news of the gospel. Where are the people in your sports club and team? Are they someone who is sitting at the back of the stands that maybe there's been no conversations had? How can you actually then start to build a relationship with that person, share life with that person, to get the opportunity to share the gospel? Or maybe they are someone that you're sharing life with and you're getting the opportunity to share the gospel to. Brilliant. How can you keep doing that? How can you keep praying for them? And so, that's in the stands. People who can see us clearly as Christians in sport running the race. But then also, there are people outside the stadium. The number of people who play sport outside the stadium is vast. Vast in Northern Ireland. Have a think about these numbers for a wee minute. Discuss them in your groups. What do you think they represent? Have a go. I'll give you 1 minute. Chat in your groups. See who gets closest. What do you think? Anybody want to shout out the first one? 90 million?
Support Liverpool.
If only. Not support Liverpool, no.
Participants
in sport, yeah. So this is people across the UK who are regularly playing sport. Now, 10 million is the number who are registered as sports people in clubs and teams. 19 million is approximately those that are involved in sport week in, week out across the UK. What about 150,000?
Clubs.
Yeah. So that's the number of registered sports clubs and teams in the UK. What about 1,400 or in and around that? That's Northern Ireland. That's the number of registered sports clubs in Northern Ireland. Lots of different sports, obviously, but that's in Northern Ireland. We can't give an exact figure because the IFA, for some reason, can't give an exact figure for the number of football teams there are. But it's in and around that, IFA. And then 1,182. What do you think?
Here or across the UK?
That's here.
That
is Christians in sport that we know of in Northern Ireland. Known by Christians in sport, obviously that number might be higher than that. But known to us, 1,182. And just to kind of give you a few of the stats then, thinking about outside the stadium. Population of the UK, 64.1 million. 8.8% say they are practicing Christians. 19 million playing sport regularly. 10,000 Christians. In and around that, just a little bit less than that we know of playing sport across the UK. That's one Christian for every 1,900 people. In Northern Ireland, just over 1,400 registered sports clubs and teams, and then that's the number of Christians in sport that we know of. To break it down a little bit further, to ground it in a sport, rugby. I play rugby. There are 56 rugby clubs in Ulster. That we know of, there are 88 Christians in rugby, known to us. There are around about 24 clubs that we know of a Christian playing sport there, which is quite high, but that still leaves quite a number of sports clubs, rugby clubs, that don't have a Christian that we know of playing rugby there. If you're to break it down and think about the number of registered rugby players, there's just over 3,300 registered rugby players. That's about one Christian to every 37. So if you take a rugby club, 15 on a rugby team, that's still the firsts and seconds. There's only one Christian really in that. So the numbers are vast, aren't they? When you start to break it down to individual sports, when you start to think about the actual numbers and stats of Christians that we know of who are running on the track, yes, it's encouraging that there are Christians who are involved in clubs and teams in the UK and in Northern Ireland here. But then there are so many people who have not had the opportunity maybe to respond to the good news of the gospel. Maybe I've never heard the good news of the gospel about Jesus Christ. And so we want to be able to envision and equip Christian sports people to get out there, churches to actually engage with sport, to give those people that opportunity. So go and make disciples is the command. And we've thought about the sports stadium and thinking about our churches. We're crying out as churches for an opportunity to actually engage with people. And then it's thinking about how we do that. Well, if you've got Johnny, who is playing rugby in your church, plays Tuesday, Thursday trains, and on a Saturday plays his games, you have someone there who is a disciple who can be sent out to go out to actually worship God in the way he plays, but even more than that, to then start to have conversations with people, to look to be a disciple maker in his rugby club, wherever that might be. And so we're looking for opportunities as churches to engage with sport. We have people who are sitting in our churches right now who could be those people to get out there into the world of sport, to reach that number, that vast number, who don't know Jesus Christ at the moment. And what I've given you in the booklet, the first thing that we really have set out for churches to do, the framework that we have given, is to find Christians in sport, to find people in our churches. And I'd like you to think for a little minute about this in your context. Who are the people in your context, your church context, who are currently on the track? There might be people who you can think of who are playing sport right now in your churches who are on the track. Maybe it's you. If you're unsure, how could you find out? And I'm going to be chatting to someone just in a wee minute about what their church has done to try and find those people who are on the track. Do they grasp the vision of reaching the world of sport for Christ? How could you help them to grasp it? And how could you equip and encourage those who have already grasped the vision to get into the stands and share the good news of the gospel with teammates? I'm going to give you around about 8 minutes to talk about that. And then I'm going to invite Andrew up and I'm going to have a chat with him. So I'll give you 8 minutes to have a chat, okay? Go for it. Can I just, as you chat, sorry, I just want to make a point. We were chatting about in the group over here. Maybe I haven't been just as clear on this. Whenever I give those stats about clubs and teams, yes, we're pushing being intentional in clubs and teams. But we had someone was chatting here and saying, well, I'm not involved in a club or a team, but I'm a parent with a son or a daughter who is involved. There is still the opportunity there for you to be a Christian in sport, someone who is involved in sport, a Christian who, maybe with other parents as you watch, the opportunity to actually think, right, there's a person I travel to watch a football match with every week, or someone I go to swimming club and stand beside every week and I've had conversations with. Maybe never had a conversation about the gospel or about church, but those are people who are part of that group in the UK that we were talking about, who are involved in sport in some way or another. And so there's the opportunity there for us to actually be involved and share life with them in the short time that we maybe have. Maybe it can extend further than that though, but also share the gospel with them too, chat about church. So just to be clear on that, there are maybe people in this room who are thinking, I'm not really a Christian in sport, but try to think maybe about your context too. That first question I've asked you, think about people in your church. Think about your context first if you're involved in sport. I chatted to a church leader not long ago who was really keen to see his church, people who were Christians in his church involved in sport, then actually think about the mission field of sport that they were involved in and actually start to share their faith with teammates. But I got chatting to him, and every Saturday he goes out in four ball and plays golf. The other three guys aren't Christians. And it was the first time, now he's a church leader, and he's, yes, someone that probably has in his mind, these guys aren't Christians, but it was the first time he'd actually thought, you know, I am a Christian in sport, like the other people in my church, who I am wanting to see get out into the stands, and I'm wanting to see go beyond the stands, out to the stadium, outside the stadium. And it was like a penny had dropped for him for the first time. So think about that, okay? Give you a wee while longer to chat. Would anyone like to share anything you were chatting about in your groups? It's always good to hear yes in your group, but also then the feedback so everyone else can hear.
We were just saying, I was saying about we have lots of little ones who are involved in sport, and we try where we can to make them feel their church family is excited about their achievements. So we have a little girl who's 7, I think, or 8, and she's number 2 in Ireland for gymnastics. And so she won a sack full of medals, so we can't tell everybody and do a somersault. And everybody then came up to her afterwards, and she felt that she belonged, and that her church family were thrilled to bits for her. And so that, you know, next time she came with a sack load of medals, she was straight up to me, can I show everybody? We try and do that, whether it's Highland dancing or bungee jumping. If you get something, come and see me about it, and we encourage the church. But a lot of it is sporting, and that's just for the wee ones, so that they feel that being part of the church and sport go together, there's a connection there.
I was just saying, at the start, in my own church, I'll support people, but our younger ones, they will meet academically good, the area's top area. But that's where we give something as well, to play sport with them, just to, that's, if, you know, they enjoy it, and it's bringing it in, you still get, you know, the gospel in as well, like, you know, so.
You're just chatting in the group as well there, about, there's probably been the call for some people almost to leave sport, to be involved in a lot of church things, which is good, and I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. But seeing the unique opportunity that there is within sport, for people to actually understand that the talents, the gifts that they've been given are from God. I'm going to be chatting about this tomorrow. Romans chapter 12 says that all of life is worship to God. Whatever we do, kicking a ball on a Saturday, it's our heart and the way that we do it, that is worship to God. And so helping and allowing people to see that their sport can be an act of worship in the way that they play, And then not almost dissociating sport and their faith, seeing the two can go together. But beyond that, then thinking about the opportunity they have to stay in sport. Conversations. My wife and I have had conversations regularly since we got married a couple of years ago about how often we're spending time with people who are Christians, just in church. But I've said to my wife, who's not sporty in the slightest, but she totally gets it, that sport is one of the main places, if not one of the only places, that I get to spend a lot of time, meaningful time, with people who aren't believers. And that is why I train Tuesday, Thursday, which you can't understand sometimes. Why I train the Tuesday night and the Thursday night and playing a Saturday. Yes, I love it. I'm wired to play sport. I love it. But also beyond that, there is a massive opportunity for me to share life with these guys, to show them what it looks like to be a Christian, but also then to speak words of life to them too. I'm going to invite Andrew up. Andrew Kelly from Friendship Presbyterian. Andrew, come on, sit up beside me. Andrew, you are in Grantia. You can sit here for me, right? You're in Grantia Presbyterian, and tell us first of all involvement in sport. Tell us a bit about what your role is in Grantia.
So, in terms of sport, I'm a hockey player, and I have played since I started secondary school. I play for Annadale Hockey Club, and I also coach. So, I coach at Grosvenor Grammar School, and I've recently got involved with primary school as well, coaching. So. That's my sporting background. I'm probably as big a football fan as I am a hockey fan, but not quite as good at football. So, in terms of church, I'm a full-time youth worker and children's worker at Grantia Presbyterian.
First contact with Christians in sport, can you remember?
My first contact with Christians in sport was in Grosvenor. I was playing the first 11 at Grosvenor, and my hockey coach is involved with Christians in Sport. His sister, Rachel, actually works for Christians in Sport. And he basically came to me knowing that I was a Christian guy and said, I can't do it, why don't you do it? As a teacher, you know, he couldn't necessarily push it. And we set up a Christians in Sport group in school, and we ran a few outreach events where we brought all our teams along. We had like rugby, hockey, and certain games and sports, and we shared our testimonies at that. And so that was my first involvement, and since then I have attended a few clubhouse meetings and met with Alan a few times.
Brilliant. And this year particularly, so your church, Grantia Presbyterian, they have become more involved, I suppose, in partnership with Christians in Sport. We've met a few times throughout the year, and really it started from a place of you saying that there were some Christians who were playing sport regularly in the church, in a club or team, and you were keen to almost share this vision with them, the vision that you had and been shared with you a few years ago. How then has it kind of, as the year, well, starting off, why did you want to do that? Why did you want to gather sports people?
Yeah, we had probably a group of kind of late teenagers, you know, older teenagers or young adults, who were either playing competitively every Saturday for school or for club. And we also had quite a big group of coaches who were coaching at different football clubs, Ridgeway, Glentoran, and so on. And myself, I know that working for a church, sport is probably my main, if not only, outlet in terms of it's where I mingle with non-church people, and I don't really have time to do that other than my sport, and I understand the pressures of sport and the pressures of being a Christian in sport. So I just thought it was a great opportunity to get those guys together, and it's never difficult to get Christian or sports people together because I just love to share stories about sport and to encourage them and to get them to understand that actually this isn't just a time you go and switch off. It can be a time where you're intentional and taking your faith with you, and rather than leaving church to the side and going and doing sport separately. So having seen that we had a big group, I thought these guys think we'll do that.
And with that then, how did you actually go about, so you identified there were some people who were on the track, like you running the race, how did you then actually gather those guys, you before kind of getting in touch with them, what had you done? Because you wanted to get people who were sports people in the room.
So I identified one guy who was 19, just left school, didn't really know what he wanted to do for the year, was a bit stuck, and was a really keen rugby player, actually plays with Alan at club.
Which I didn't know at the time, actually.
And I identified him as someone who might want to take this and own it a bit, and be responsible for it. And I sat down with him, and we took a piece of paper and a pen and started jotting down people we knew were serious about sport. We didn't want to just open it up to everyone, because when you open it up, you get everyone who, you know, played sport 40 years ago and still thinks they're top George Best. So we actually chased people who were serious about sport, and a few people were nodding as if that's me.
I was going to say, it's maybe more than
you lost half of us now.
It's maybe more than matching day watchers on Saturday evening. That's what you mean. There are people who are obviously still involved in sport.
Yes,
of course.
Of course.
Group, you
see. The
people who are involved.
Remember, the older we get, the better we were.
The story, you said about stories to tell these people.
Well, so we identified people who were still involved, either as a player, or as a coach, or as a parent, or in whatever shape or form that was. And so we approached them and said, do you want to come? We're going to meet once every 6 weeks, and we're going to pray together. We're going to share a few challenges that we'll have together, and we're going to see where it goes from there. It's very casual. It's not anything that takes up a huge amount of our time. It's just, we literally meet half an hour before church every 6 weeks or so. And we pray together. So we've done that for the last year, and again, we kind of picked people that we thought were involved seriously in sport. And then when we got them together, we said, do you know anyone else? And they said, oh yeah, so-and-so plays, and so we chased them as well. And we just gathered a group together, really, over 4 months.
And I should say within that, that you might be from a church that it would be hard to do that. You were from a church that thinking it would probably be easier to kind of go intentionally after those people, so that you got the proper sports people who were involved in sport in the room. There might be churches as well, like another church that we've been involved in this year in Glen Abbey. They have quite a big number of people who go to the church, probably around 800, and for them to do that would have been near impossible. So for them, they actually used a church survey, which we can provide, but tailored for each individual church. And people were able to fill that in over the course of a month. Every Sunday morning service, they announced it, they made sure people were aware of it. People just went online for 5 minutes and filled in that church survey, and that allowed them then to gather around about 70 names of people who were involved in the world of sport, so that then they could gather them and do what you're doing. So that's another way that it can happen too, which is in the document I gave you there. So thinking going forward then, Andrew, obviously they're meeting to pray, these guys. It's been an encouragement as well to get people who are real sports people in the room, because, as you said, you want to chat about challenges, opportunities. The first day I came, so I came on Sunday morning, and I asked the question at the start, biggest challenge you faced so far representing Christ in your sports club or team this year, and biggest opportunity that you've had so far this season. And I probably could have left after that. I just could have walked out of the room silently and nobody would have noticed, because as soon as you ask that question, people just start talking. So what going forward now for the group, what would you like to see happen? What would be your prayer for the group?
We've chatted about our kind of our hope and our plan for the next year or so, and we want to continue to meet and continue casting the vision to them. So getting this idea that actually your sport is an intentional mission field, and we want you to use your sport for that. So we're going to continue to meet every 6 weeks and pray about that. We've started identifying people that we're praying for in our sports teams. So we've given them all the task of picking two or three teammates that they think are maybe somewhere in the stands, but actually getting closer and closer, and they're praying for opportunities to share. And our hope is around February time, actually, we're going to maybe run some sort of sports quiz, some sort of event where we can invite our teammates. And so we'll have all teammates from different clubs come together, having a bit of a laugh, enjoying a night together, and then getting to share a bit of the gospel with them. So that's the kind of end of the year goal. But right now, our goal is getting it's not a program. It's simply trying to get them to understand the vision behind Christians in Sport, which is using your sport as mission rather than just a pastime, something to waste away the hours. So that's what we're trying to do at the moment. It's our prayer.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And over the next sort of the next session that we're going to be doing, I'm going to be chatting to another church leader, a church minister, who is going to tell us a little bit about what it looked like to actually then run a sports quiz, how he went about doing that. So that's going to be tomorrow. I'm going to be chatting to him a little bit about that. To give you a little bit more of an understanding, or to grasp a little bit more of what we're about, this is the core convictions that we would love people in churches who are Christians playing sport somewhere, we would love them to have. What does that actually mean for me to be a Christian in sport? So who is a Christian in sport? Why would I reach the world of sport for Christ? So why would I be a disciple maker, like what we're talking about today? And then how can I actually do that? And as churches, like Andrew has just said, given opportunities for sports people to gather, to encourage each other, but also then as churches, maybe given opportunities for sports people to invite their teammates to come along. How can you do that? And that's what we'll think about a little bit more tomorrow. But in the core convictions, this one, why reach the world of sport for Christ? It's not just something that we have thought ourselves. This actually is from the Bible. Gospel conviction that we have. We believe that, yes, like Matthew 28 says, we're called to go to make disciples of all nations. But even more than that, I'm thinking a bit deeper about the why. Why, amongst all the busyness that goes on in church, why encourage Christians to be disciple makers in sport? I want you to, in your groups, just think about this for a wee minute. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Have a wee read of this, and I'm going to put up three questions for you to think about on the board in a wee minute. If you have a Bible, it might be good to have that open so that you can read it as you look at the questions, or if you have it on your phone. And I'd love you to think about these questions. How does Jesus view the crowd? How does Jesus feel towards the crowd? And what instructions does Jesus give to his disciples? Really, three basic questions for you to think about. Have a look at this. And then think about the three questions. I'll put them up after you've had a chance to read it. Okay? Give you 2 minutes to do this, to have a read and then think through the questions. All right? Looking at Matthew 9, it's a really helpful place for us to start in thinking about the mission field of sport. Because it gives us a picture of Jesus Christ on mission. We see in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 there, it gives us a summary of what Jesus has been doing. Going through the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the gospel, and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus is on mission here. And why is he on mission? Well, looking at verse 36, he's on mission because of the way that he looks at the crowd. His motive for mission is because he looks at this crowd of people and he feels a deep compassion for them. Doesn't just feel sorry for them. He looks at them and this word in the original just means his heart was breaking for them. His bowels moved within him. That's how strong this is. He is so deeply moved as he sees this crowd before him. Because he doesn't just look in the outward appearance of them. He looks straight to the heart. And he sees here people who stand before him who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Think about sheep being chased. I heard Phil talking about there, Ballymena man, know what sheep being chased looks like, but just being chased around, being really just scattered everywhere, don't know where to go, lost in the throes of the world. That's what Jesus sees as he looks at this crowd, and he feels this compassion for him, and that's his motive on mission. And I don't know about you, but for me, there are so many times that I have read this and I have taken myself out of the equation and not thought of myself like a sheep. I thought, I've never been like that. But actually the reality for each one of us in this room, the reality for all of us in life, is that without Jesus Christ, we are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus looks at each one of us and he feels that deep compassion for us. Now, to think about the way that then translates to our sports clubs, teams, for those people who are in our churches who are playing in sports clubs and teams, I wonder, do they look at people the way Jesus sees them? I know for the boys in Grosvenor that I play with, I don't. How often I look at them and I just see them as people who are content with life. They seem powerful, they seem happy, they're happy in their job. Relationships seem to be fine. And I just start to see them, not the way Jesus does, but actually people who don't really need the gospel, don't need to hear the good news. And so it stops me from sharing the gospel with them. But that's not the way that Jesus Christ looks at those people. He sees them as sheep, harassed, helpless, thrown around in the world, scattered, in need of a shepherd. And so that's Jesus' motive for mission. And at the heart of why we would be a Christian in sport, why we would be a disciple maker in sport or in the world of work or wherever it might be, is that we share this motivation for people, this compassion that Jesus has to see those lost people brought in by the shepherd to his fold, to know him. That's Jesus' motive and mission. But how then does Jesus view the mission field? Because after he has felt this compassion, he turns to his disciples then, and he actually shares with them the way he sees the crowd. And the picture changes from sheep, and it changes to this harvest field. And this is what he says. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus looks at this group of people, this harvest field that's before him, and he has hope and optimism. Because he says to them, first of all, the harvest is plentiful. Look and see the way I do, the people who are before you. Look and see the teammates that there are in your sports club. There are people there who are ready to hear the good news of the gospel. Eyes that are ready to be opened to the wonder of who Jesus Christ really is. Hearts that are ready to respond to him, coming to know him for themselves. Jesus says, do you see it like I do? Do you look at the people in your club and see them with the hope and optimism that I have? But he says as well, the workers are few. Notice he doesn't say Christians are few. Workers are few. Those who are willing to roll up their sleeves, to get themselves out into that harvest field, to work for Jesus Christ there. And thinking about our context here in Northern Ireland, thinking about the clubs and teams that we have, the harvest field is vast. There are many, many people in that harvest field who do not know Jesus Christ, who we have the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with. Eyes ready to be opened, hearts ready to respond to Jesus Christ in faith. But I wonder, do we see the harvest field like Jesus Christ sees it? Do we look at it and see it the way he calls us, his disciples, to see it? And thinking even then about our individual areas, our churches, where are churches in the locality that they're in? Ballyclare. I don't know if there's anybody from Ballyclare here, just took a random pun, but there might be. Ballyclare. This could be some of the sports clubs and teams in your area. Ballyclare Hockey Club, Golf Club, schools as well, maybe gyms, Coleraine. There's the harvest field. I wonder who the workers are. The workers in your church. The workers who God has placed in those clubs and teams. In Coleraine, Ballyclare, Ballymena, wherever it might be. I wonder, will those people see the vision that there is, that Jesus Christ calls them to see the harvest field the way he does? Because after then Jesus views the harvest field this way, his view of mission, he actually then turns to his disciples and he gives them the strategy for mission. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. It's pretty simple. Pray and go. Ask the Lord to send out those people who are willing, who are ready to get out into his harvest field. to share the good news of the gospel out there, to pray for opportunities, pray for open doors, and also to pray that he would change the heart of those who we're playing with, training with. Praying for parents who are standing beside, watching our children as they play their sport. Praying for opportunities to share something about going to church, why we go to church, what it means to be a Christian. And praying for more workers. Because I shared at the start, there are loads of people who are in the stands, yes. People who are playing sport with people in our churches. People who are playing sport with us. But beyond that, there are people outside the stadium who there's no one in their club or team at the moment who is a Christian. How will they hear the good news of the gospel? Praying for God to raise up workers in those harvest fields. And here's the last thing to finish with. Well, I should show these pictures actually. This is looking at groups of Christians in sport in different churches in Northern Ireland this year who have gathered to talk about the mission field of sport that they're in, just like Andrew was talking about, and to pray together. To just begin that kind of journey together, praying for teammates, asking questions of each other, how things are going, opportunities, challenges that they are facing. But also then being able to encourage each other as they go. Because it is a difficult place. It is difficult to keep going. There will be times as well that we, in our sports club, might feel like our witness, our worship, is having no effect whatsoever. But here is the liberating thing. Here's the thing that frees us. Here's the thing that takes the burden off us. Because whose is the harvest field? It's the Lord's. It's not ours. He calls us to go out into it. But he is the one that opens blind eyes. How freeing is that? How the burden is taken off us. What a privilege that is as well for us. Thinking about the fact that God doesn't need us. We have no use really in this, but God chooses to use us. Chooses to use us to go out into that world of sport to share the good news of the gospel there. Amazing. And here's what I'd love you to think about as we come to nearly a finish here. For about 5 or so minutes, how do you view the harvest field of sport in your area, in your church's locality? How could you as a church leader envision, equip and encourage the Christian sports people within your church to go and make disciples in their world of sport? How could your church look to engage with those outside the stadium? Maybe about 10 minutes to chat about that. Go for it. Yeah. Guys, maybe bring it back in. I could let you chat on, but anything coming out of that, we're nearly finished, we have about 10 minutes left. Just anything coming out of that? Is that what you want to say?
No. You put your forward one. To the end of the chaplain, the Bangor football club.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, our church is here, and if you literally walk across the road, there's our Bangor football club, and we do nothing with them. So we kind of, I just kind of took that maybe there's something there that we could get in with and get a connection from there.
That's good to start thinking, what can that look like? And that's maybe tomorrow. What if you come back tomorrow? There'll be a bit of thinking of that. What could that actually look like then?
Just on that, I mean, yep. There is. I'm chaplain at Ballymena United, and I know that the aim is, and Robert down there is chaplain at Castle Dur. Yeah. And there is a desire to have a chaplain at every Premier club, which is, they're almost at that. Mm-hmm. And then Bangor being a First Division club, they're trying to get them there as well. John Parks, who was minister there at the time, was involved in Bangor. The Cards play there as well. They do have a chaplain. Well, it is a hard world. It's a hard world to work in.
But it's great to start thinking who could be the person in your church, or who could be the person that you could share this vision with. Maybe that has never thought about it, but is someone connected in the world of football, which I'm connected in the world of rugby. I'm not a footballer, and so there's someone who works along with me who is connected in football and knows people, and people know him. And so that's, there are people, and it's good to start thinking that way. just on that about it being a difficult environment, we were just talking about that, how thinking a lot about, we've been talking about getting out into the stands and actually then equipping and encouraging sports people to do that. But it is a difficult place to go. It is a difficult place to actually go out and be a Christian. I know that firsthand, being someone on a Saturday after a game standing in the clubhouse sometimes. I'm wondering, why am I there? But in that, I was just saying how there are loads of boys in my club in Grosvenor who are so unlovable to me. They're just really difficult to get on with. They make life difficult for me. But it comes back to that compassion in Jesus Christ. That is where I think, my understanding anyway, of why I continue to go on a Saturday night after the game into the clubhouse with them, because I am asking, praying that God would give me eyes to see them, and Jesus does, to give me that compassion in my heart for them. It's not going to come from me just willing it. But it's sharing that vision, which has been, was shared with me 5 years ago, which then has actually, God has gripped my heart with it, and there are other people in churches who will feel exactly the same way, and it's through opening God's word with them and explaining a passage like that, a simple passage, we can see so much of Jesus Christ and his heart for people, and why we as his disciples getting out there into the world of sport, yes, no matter how difficult it's going to be, getting out there for him and living and representing him there. Just, I'll ask if there are any questions. Shall I go for it?
Yeah, just if you're not necessarily directly involved in a club.
Yeah.
I mean, I spoke to you a minute or two there ago about some of the sporting events that we organise within our church for anyone to get involved in. And we run a couple of cycle sportifs which were successful in helping to fundraise to build a sports pitch, which we now have. But I'm sort of looking at this sports pitch and I'm sort of thinking to myself, well, we have this little committee called the Grand Sports for All, but we're not really doing an awful lot at the moment. And that's why I was coming here today, just to see what resources are available, and there's a notion of maybe, for example, running a football tournament, even though I'm balls the wrong shape for me, but you know, you could do that, but it's the sustainability of that type of thing, and you know, with the cycling, maybe we would have just popped a wee track into each of the goodie bags afterwards. I would have been cycling around, and if somebody spoke to you, it might have just been off the cuff remark saying, Keith, this is 2 years you own this, you've had great weather, it's fantastic, and come on. It says, you wouldn't believe the amount of people have been praying for it, and you get conversations going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in our church, we wouldn't necessarily have an awful lot of people that belong to particular clubs, but there would be a lot of football clubs in the area.
Yeah.
I was probably running a tournament for them, try to decide in the summer and the off-season or whatever, but it's the sustainability of getting back to them again, or, you know, that, you know.
And that's really...
It's great having individuals get into those clubs.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have that, but we have the facility, and we have the organisational skills to actually run something to get people to us, if you know what I mean.
And building connections from that, I suppose, could be the place to start from. You never know who there is or who is playing in different clubs and teams that there are in the area.
Is this the sort of thing that you guys... I mean, that seems like a silly question.
We would. We've done at Corian Uni last year. Phil was at Corian Uni, and I'm just getting Phil up in a wee minute, but... Phil, you ran a football tournament, and it was a five-a-side tournament, shared the gospel there with, and people from that. There was one guy that plays rugby at Grosvenor with me who has had a conversation with me since about that, what he heard that day, which I would never have known that I didn't even know he came to Corian. I just started in Grosvenor last year, so it was at the start of the year, and conversations coming from that. So it is connections being built through that. Yes, we do. We can organise, run that, or help at least in doing that.
I just think we have, you know, we worked very hard to get this facility in place, and now it's, you know, I've been sort of struggling as to what direction I'm going to take it next.
So. It'll be worth chatting. I'm happy to chat to people afterwards as well. Phil, come on up, will you, minute? Phil, you're playing rugby at Ballymena, coaching as well. Tell us a little bit about church, your involvement with Christians in Sport as well.
Yeah, so I'm at church in First of Hockle, Presbyterian. Just outside Ballymena, and I've been there since I was no age. I'd grown up there, and also the other question was sport, wasn't it? I've forgotten already. So I've been playing rugby as well. Started off as a gymnast, but didn't stick at that thanks to my big belly. But moved over to rugby and played that since I was probably about P7, and played through school. And I haven't played for the last season because I got a bad knee injury, and now I did a bit of coaching as well.
Okay. Tell us a bit about then actually this year. Any kind of good stories, any encouraging stories this season playing? You're someone obviously that has been in your church. You've been kind of pushing with people in your church to actually gather sports people. At university, you gather with other Christian sports people in the University of Coleraine here. You're now finished that, but that's continuing on. Tell us any kind of good news stories that have come out this season.
Yeah, so I'll kind of go from my own time in sport first. Like, so again, I couldn't play because of this knee injury, but on the same day I injured my knee, another fella did the exact same injury, and through that we were obviously just sitting on the sidelines, not being able to play and just having to watch frustrated at times from the sidelines. But through that, just got chatting to him a wee bit, then was working with him in a sports shop as well, and since then been able to read the Bible with him. Just through chatting, through that injury, and through literally just him asking me what I've been up to, me chatting to him and then asking him what his thoughts and all on it. As well as that with the coaching, there's been loads of chances to chat with the coaches there. It seems to be just the Lord, again, nothing to do with me, like, but the Lord has really been just given so many opportunities for me to speak with the coaches there. Again, they just ask you what you're up to, and they say, well, I'm actually going to meet the SOFL fella from the club to read the Bible. And like, what's all that about? And then you just get to chat a wee bit more. And then, so the university as well, we've been looking at like meeting up together, and we did that. About 15 of us who are playing sport, quite a lot of people travelling to and from, but quite a lot of sports players in the university. And we met up at 7:30 in the morning. Believe it or not, students get up at that time, the odd time, when there's begging bodies on show, they get up for it. And we met up there, we had a chance to pray for like our non-Christian teammates, and had a chance just to open God's word. And again, because we are sports people, we'll be going through struggles and facing different challenges that loads of other Christian groups just won't face, and being able to encourage each other with stories there. And I'll not ramble on, but one really good story, a guy called Steve, who plays in the university, he came along to the group and felt challenged to go and then speak to a guy who he'd chatted to in his rugby team and ask him to read the Bible. And from that, praise the Lord, the guy became a Christian and gave his life to Jesus through him just going and saying, look, I'm a Christian, would you like to meet up and read the Bible? And of course that comes from him building up that relationship. If he just walked up to a random guy he didn't know in his club and said, here, do you want to read the Bible? I'm sure his answer would have been a firm no. But because that guy Steve has been in his club, he's played, he's committed to it, and he's committed to his boys, and he was able to have that opportunity to read the Bible with him.
Any challenges then? Any kind of difficulties there have been as well? So those are great stories.
Well, I think, just as you were saying, Slug, in sport, especially rugby culture, and I'm sure it's the same in loads of different sports, it's just sometimes just not that nice. And the easier thing to do on a Saturday night is just go home, rather than sit around when boys are giving awful chat and just kind of drinking the night away. Sometimes it's just not the nicest place to be, and you're just like, I'd much rather be at home with the family, just watching a wee film or something like that, or just going and relaxing. And it has been, it's been challenging at times, and there's even quite a funny story. It was, I was speaking to one of the coaches and I've been chatting to him a wee bit, and I thought, maybe I'll ask this guy if he wants to read the Bible, and ask him if he wants to read the Bible with me. And he just said, nah, I don't want you brainwashing me. So just kind of shot me down there. And of course, I mean, that's expected. Like, I mean, when you look at the, when you look throughout the Bible, I mean, people riot or they repent, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And there has been loads of challenges, but it is just really trying to, as you say, just pray for the heart of Jesus and see these people. And see that if I'm not going to hang around the club, who's going to tell these people about the new, about the same news of Jesus? Who's going to tell these people that they are lost? And again, it is tough, and you do have to push through, and you have to say, right, I need to pray for that heart of compassion to see these people where they're at.
Brilliant. Thanks, Phil, and thanks for putting you a bit short. But that's us really coming to an end today. But tomorrow we're going to think a little bit more about how to be a Christian in sport and how to equip people in our churches to be Christians in sport. If there are things that you do want to ask, I know I haven't left a lot of time today to ask any questions you have, come and ask me at the end and we can chat about them, and maybe there's something. I'll leave a bit more time tomorrow in a Q&A as well to talk a bit more. But thanks to Andrew and Phil, and thanks again for coming. Hopefully it's been something that has given you ideas, something to think about as you go back to your churches and think about getting into sport if you're playing sport, involved in sport, or equipping those who are. All right, thank you.